All right. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here. We got Jake Jr. in the background. That's awesome.
Yeah, I tried to get him to sleep, but it's not happening. And he had to work. And so.
If anybody thinks that we look very similar, it's because I am going to be in Costa Rica. As you listen to this or watch this, viewer or listener, I am in Costa Rica. We are recording in advance. And we always say that when we record in advance, if we miss a big story, that's why. Jake, there is a big story. It broke this morning at 10:41 a.m. By the time I am in Costa Rica, we could be in World War III.
Nice.
That'll
be good podcast
happened.
Content, I think. The new World War.
Three U.S. troops killed by Iranian-backed drone strike in Jordan, in Syria, Biden says. 25 injured. So, we've been getting frisky with the Houthis, bombing some of their missile sites. And there were some incoming, I believe, missiles in Syria that gave concussions to soldiers. But now we have three dead U.S. soldiers in Syria that Iran is behind. I don't know what's going to happen. This is all breaking news. We have no details. But I will say this. That is the one thing. Well, there's others. That is one of the things I loved about Trump. I loved that when push came to shove, he killed the shit out of General Soleimani. I don't know if you heard any of the stories, but remember they said, okay, we need to do a retaliatory strike against Iran. They were doing some bullshit. Here are the options. This is like the light option. Here's some general bombing. This is a bit extreme. And he went, yeah, do the extreme one. Kill the shit out of that guy. And I thought that was great. And I hope, I cross my fingers right now and hope that Biden does the same thing, because I think this is happening because they say, you know, they look at Biden as weak, or that he's not going to do anything, or he'll do a proportionate response. I hope he bombs the shit out of every weapons depot that, like, oh, you killed three service members. All right. We are taking out 300 buildings, 300 munitions, anything military related. I hope we go above and beyond.
Well, that's where it gets tough with groups like that. They don't really have here's the Houthi
headquarters. No. That's the Houthis. This is Iranian backed. I hope we do something to Iran directly.
Honestly, as long as it keeps boots off the ground, I think it's a good thing. I don't know what the hell the U.S. troops are doing in Jordan. Honestly, I think that should be more. If we're going to do these proxy wars, we give weapons to other people. I think that's the fucking move.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing with, and I know it's an extreme case, but you know, Israel and Hamas, you know, we don't want to fight them directly, but we can just keep, you know, arming Israel and Israel do their thing.
Well, right. And honestly, I don't know why this conflict has to have that much to do with us anyway. I mean, I'm not a big pro Hamas guy. I'm also not a big Boko Haram guy either. But when Boko Haram pulled shit like this, Michelle Obama put little Twitter videos up with the hashtag bring back our girls. We didn't send one side surface to air missiles indefinitely from now until forever.
That is true. That's a good point. But yeah, I don't want to say exciting because it sucks. I don't want anyone to get killed. What is a proportionate response? It's just funny that that's the language that gets used, is we will have a proportionate response. Maybe we should have a disproportionate response. Maybe we should do something extreme to say, hey, quit fucking with us. Because I think they're pushing boundaries. They're testing waters is what they're doing. And we need to come down with a big old curb stomp and say, knock it the fuck off.
But the problem is if it's too heavy now, you risk running into, you know, killing a bunch of civilians and shit like that.
I want to hit military targets. I don't want any civilians. We could take out a couple boats.
It's usually not that simple. And if you're talking about hitting a lot of shit, well, now you're probably you're gonna get some civilian targets as well. So it's a tough thing, you know.
I don't know, take out some ships. We know that's all Iranian Navy, so I have no idea. I'm just asshole with a podcast, so.
Yeah, I think if you can do it just hitting military targets, that's one thing, and that's actually possible with Iran, unlike some of these other
groups. Unlike with the Houthis.
Right.
You're doing your best. And I read an article about the Houthis recently that said, we're kind of fucked when it comes to them, as all they do is truck-launched missiles. So every time we think we have a missile site, it's like it's on the back of a Toyota, and they're just driving, you know, they're driving around, right. Launch, keep driving, launch. They have no fixed infrastructure to bomb.
We're not good at that kind of fighting. You know what fighting that we're best at, probably better than any other army that's ever existed, is here's the bad guy over there. He's wearing this kind of shirts. It's a whole military thing. This is his base. This is the headquarters. These are the, go get him, blow him up with whatever. There's a base over there. Go get it. Nobody's ever been as good at that as we are. You know what kind of war we're really terrible at? Hey, some guy in a tank top and sandals was firing at us over there. We kind of stopped firing. It kind of looks like the other guys in tanks and tops and sandals. What should we do about it? Like, we were terrible at that. And that's kind of the war that is going on in Gaza. And it seems like with the Houthis, too. So
everywhere over there, it seems like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should be trying to. This is going to sound kind of fucking hippy dippy. I think we should take this opportunity to invest more in green energy so we don't have to pretend to give a fuck about that portion of the world. Like, we're taking some moral stance every time we jump in behind this group of rebels or this not dictator, good guy when he's our friend, but, you know,
dictator when he's not our friend.
Yeah, right, right. When we got to go at him, then he becomes a dictator again. I think we should drill more here. I think we should work more toward alternative energies. That way the oil thing is temporary. Otherwise we will run out of our shit and have to deal with the worst people on the fucking planet. These dictators in these crazy, theocracy countries. And I we have to deal with fucking monsters to get this stuff out of the ground. So I say, stop dealing with those monsters, drill more here. And in the meantime, which is what Biden's doing. We're producing more oil
we're exporting
domestically than we ever have before. So I say do that while investing in alternative energies so that we don't have to keep doing that forever. And I think that's the move.
The only problem is it's chess. Is if we are not controlling trying to control what goes on over there, then they find new markets, and it's like, oh, well, now China has too much influence with them, or Russia has, you know, like, it's not just us using the product.
Hey, let them have that fucking dirt hole. Let them have that fucking dirt hole as long as we have other ways to get away. I don't really give a shit. That's not our problem.
Yeah, I hear you.
If China wants to go fucking launch rockets back and forth with the Houthis, China, have fun wasting money. We're drilling in Alaska.
China actually said they don't want us launching rockets at the Houthis. I read the story. It was basically they do so much trade through the Red Sea that it made no sense. It was like, so wait, you want your ships to have, because I think maybe the Houthis are ignoring Chinese ships. So they're like, hey, quit fighting back with the Houthis. Don't start shit. Well, yeah, they're not launching at you guys.
Oh, right. Hey, China, do you have a plan to where we can get the guys whose flag is, I don't know if you've seen this, the Houthis flag is like, it's just a few sentences. Line one, Allah Akbar. Line two, death to the Jews. Line three, death to America. Like, it's their flag is just like, so it's like, dude, we're not going to be able to negotiate with guys who, that's their flag. What do you want?
Yeah, you're just... It's someone else's problem until it's my problem. Right now, it's not China's problem. So the fact that we're bombing sites and saying quit launching missiles at ships, they're like, but they don't hit our ships. Yeah, not the point. Anyway.
Right, right. I say drill more here, which is what we're doing. It's so weird that
we're exporting.
People like Trump running around going, we need to be drilling more. We're drilling more now here than we ever have been.
Don't have any clue what is going on in reality, so they don't real. I mean, Gavin Newsom fucking curb stomped Sean Hannity when they were talking. He was just saying Google 5 point whatever cubic, just Google it right now. And so I did, And it showed that we are at the highest export, in energy independence we've ever been at. And Hannity kept saying, when Trump was in office, we were, independent. And all. It's like, yeah, we are now,
Right. And it's like, well, then why do we need to keep dealing in the Middle East if we're completely energy dependent? You know what I mean? Like that. And to all the people who are even further on the left than Biden, who are going, well, he shouldn't be drilling, man. It's bad for the planet. Hey, guys, aren't you real upset about, these are the same people who are calling what Israel is doing a genocide. Hey, yeah. Do you know why we have to pretend that Israel's always in the right? And no matter what the fuck they do, they can never be in the wrong. It's because we need allies in the region. If we're going to keep not drilling so much here, we're kind of getting it from over there too. So we have to get energy dependent if we're going to have to stop dealing over there and sending one side unlimited arms and surface to air missiles and turning a fucking blind eye to everything they do.
You know who is correct on this issue, and I can't think of all the lyrics, but the Stormtroopers of Death, they had that song, "Fuck the Middle East, there's too many problems." I can't think of the next line. "They're such a pain in the ass, we could really do without them." I don't know. There's something
that sounds
I'm
a little more
right
wing, this band, than me. Stormtroopers of Death.
It's got Ian of Anthrax and maybe the drummer from Anthrax.
And look, I'm sounding a little more what's the word? Isolationist. Hey man, I'm for sending people humanitarian aid. Continuously funding unending war in parts of the world that we need oil from. It's not really my thing. And look, I know I shit on Israel. I'm not on the side that killed 1,000 people at a music festival either. I'm not one of these fucking assholes going, Hamas has nothing to do with Palestine. They're completely unrelated entities. I'm kind of against both sides in this. Can we get energy dependent so I can be against both sides in peace?
That would be nice. All right. Old news as we record, as we are a week out. But hey, Jake, Alabama just got frisky with an execution. Alabama can proceed. Well, we already, that's too late. Alabama did proceed with the first nitrogen gas.
Took them like 20 minutes to die. Yeah.
Where was it? God damn it. I had the follow up. They said, did it? First nitrogen gas execution in U.S. has happened. But did it go as expected? He's dead. Isn't what more needs to when is it expected? Oh wait, he thrashed. It was cruel and unusual. He's dead. I think it went as expected. Who cares?
No, it took the guy over 20 minutes to die, man.
Yeah. How long did it take his victim to die? Fuck him.
If our new standard is we're now doing torture death, that's one thing. If it's like we sentence you to torture death, that's one
kind
of
thing.
He
chose it. He could have chose a bullet to the head.
Hey, okay. Again, I don't think they sold it as it's going to take you 20 minutes to die. What happened? I know we've covered this in the past. It's been a little while. I think Sweden is the country, but it's just one of those. It's one of the Scandinavian countries where they were producing one of the main chemicals we would use in lethal injections. Right. They quit. They either quit making it or quit selling it to us because they're like,
selling it
because
they said they put a contract clause in that said you cannot use this for the death penalty. You can use it to put a dog to sleep. You can use it for a surgery, but you can't use it to put a death row inmate to sleep. And then.
Right. So since then, these red states have just been kind of playing jazz on the execution table.
That's the line you used. Yeah, I love it. It's a great line.
Just trying to figure out what the fuck's going to kill a guy, and that's what they were doing here. They were like, ooh. What if we took nitrogen gas? I saw this in a James Bond film. Let's hook the guy up to this, and we put it in there, and like, man, see, Mr. Bond, and then we pump this in his fucking chamber.
You know what I saw in a movie, and this would work great. I'm not sure the logistics of how you'd get the prisoner in place, but No Country for Old Men.
Bardev.
Why can't I say his name? Yeah. The fucking Javier just the cattle thing. Just have a prisoner like, hey, stand here. We're gonna take your picture. Okay, hold on. But it's not a picture. Stud through the head, dead. No fuss, no muss. Just dead.
I like your thought on this. I was thinking a similar thing.
Javier Bardem.
We're a country that's full of ways that people can die who don't want to die. You know what I mean? Like. but we're so bad at killing somebody we actually want to kill. It's fucking ridiculous. All of our coke has fentanyl in it now, to where they're like, hey, just one little bump of this can fucking kill you if there's just one little, a little bit that can just fit on the end of a pin can just kill you if it's in this bag of coke. It's like, oh, we gotta stop people from coming across the southern border because they have fentanyl, and oh, that can kill you. Just a little bit can kill you. Then use it in executions. We got all this fentanyl. Just find the bags of coke with fentanyl in it. You give them one last bump. Give them one last key bump. Get the key bump to the sky. The long black key bump. That's what you give them.
They're go out happy. Go out happy go and out. High.
Dude, that's the move. It's like, hey, we can do hanging. We can do we can do firing squad. We can do
nitrogen. We can do the thing.
We can do weird shit that we just whipped up from underneath the sink. Or you can do one of your favorite things. More drugs. Drugs with fentanyl in it.
You remember why you killed that guy? It was because of drugs. Well, guess what?
Yes.
You get one last meal and it's drugs.
Uh-huh. In fact, dude, we can do that. New policy. We're going to kill you with lethal injection. But first, not only are we going to give you an awesome last meal, we're going to give you a shot in a beer and a key pump. What? Yeah, key pump with your last meal. And then, oh, my God, this is so cool. I wasn't expecting a bump with my left. And dead.
And dead.
That's the move. Or.
I did. We talked about this, I think. I listened to a podcast from some legal, I don't know. The fentanyl in the coke that's killing people and in the pills, the fentanyl that kills. He said flat out, he said, they're not trying to kill their users. They want their users to make money. The way he explained it made so much sense. He said, you know, when you make a batch of cookies, every so often you mix it and there's just a little hit of flour that didn't get mixed in. And you said, that's the fentanyl. They try to mix it.
That's what it is. They're using it to stretch baggies. That's what the fuck they're doing.
And they're trying to, they're not trying to kill. It's just that it doesn't mix. You get the wrong hit and you're dead.
You have to make sure to mix it.
Yeah, you're playing Russian roulette with your drugs.
It would be like if you have a, let's say there's one type of alcohol where one shot equals 100 shots. You know what I mean? And you're like, dude, I could really punch up my margarita mixing machine if I just dumped it. It's like, yeah, okay, but you better hope that thing mixes it evenly. Otherwise, one of you's going to have a really good night. One of you's going to be dead sober, and one of you's going to be dead.
Dead, dead. One's going to have a good night, dead sober, and dead, dead.
Yeah. So we kill so many people in this country. You know what I mean? We sell AR-15s at Walmart. But we can't, the one time we need to kill somebody on the government's behalf, it sometimes takes 20, 40 minutes because they're just playing around with goofy little chemicals and things like that. It's the dumbest fucking thing ever. Meanwhile, you're just trying to do a key bump and have a good time and start dead. You know,
dead.
Just do what's doing it in the key bump. Give them the fentanyl. Use fentanyls for executions, you fucking morons. How has nobody figured this out by now?
I have no idea. Why they would do it? And this is called a segue. If God told them to.
God sent the fentanyl across the border, you heathen scum. Quit trying to put up razor wire.
Yep. Just like a Colorado pastor accused of pocketing $1.3 million in crypto scheme says, Lord told us to. I love this story. A Colorado-based pastor for an online church accused of pocketing $1.3 million told his followers in a cryptocurrency fraud scheme, told his followers in a video statement, the Lord told him to do it. He and his wife created this cryptocurrency. It wasn't even like he was trafficking in Bitcoin or Dogecoin or any of the. He said, no, I'm going to make Jesus's Bitcoin, Jesus's cryptocurrency, and it's going to become the most valuable thing ever. And so they all bought it from him. But no one else wanted to trade it. It's like, okay, I'm trying to buy Bitcoin. Awesome. I'm trying to buy this. I got Jesus coin. The fuck is that? Get the fuck out of here. So they were stuck with this shit, and he made a million. They spent their finances on a Range Rover, luxury handbags, jewelry, an au pair. Well, I love that word for a nanny. Boat rentals, snowmobile adventures. I love that. Not just snowmobile rides, but snowmobile adventures.
Well, yeah, dude, that's where you take mushrooms and you drive through the forest on a snowmobile.
Yeah, so yeah, that is an adventure. But either way,
That's right.
so
And
he
then
comes over the video
you
and
do a
says,
key
we
bump of
took.
fentanyl with some coke, and you let Christ take the wheel of the snowmobile.
You hope you don't hit a tree.
That's right.
They said that it was a low risk, high
Why did
profit
Sonny Bono hit
investment.
that tree? Because he didn't pray hard enough. Unlike me with my Christ cryptocurrency, Christocurrency is what we're calling it.
Maybe that's why it did. They promoted it as a low risk, high profit investment pegged to the value of the top 100 cryptocurrencies, which is all fucking air. In reality, it was, quote, illiquid and practically worthless. All crypto is just what you think it's worth. It's like we talked about in the other podcast last week.
Right,
If
it's
someone's
not.
willing to pay you $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 for a Bitcoin, then it's worth that. But it fluctuate because it air that it has nothing backing it. It's just what you think it's worth. But then he said this: we took God at his word and sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit. What
Oh,
we are
yeah.
believing for still is that God is going to do a miracle. God is going to work a miracle in the financial sector. Oh my goodness, Jake, why do we not have a cryptocurrency? We need a cryptocurrency for anyone dumb enough to listen to us or follow us or believe us when we say anything.
We should, man, but I don't think we're good enough salesmen to. I think we're good enough salesmen to where we may be able to get people to buy initially. What I would love to see is the videos of this guy not initially getting people to buy the cryptocurrency. I want to see the videos of him like a month or two in when the price is still going down. And he's just like, I know that the markets are telling you to sell, okay? But God wants you to keep buying. Just like when God told Abraham to kill his only son, God would have also told Abraham not to sell when it's low. Okay? You need to keep buying when it's down low. That way, when it takes off, you're really going to be rich. I know you got voices out there telling you, your wife wants you to sell because we need to pay for braces for the kids. You know what that voice sounds like? Satan. All right, that's Satan. Satan telling you to do that. Satan also told Abraham's wife to go, "Oh, don't stab our boy, Abraham. That's weird to do that." You know what? That was Satan. Satan. That's why women ain't allowed to be pastors. You understand? You can't listen to that. Their minds get all muddled up with the devil. Listen to me. You're the man of the house. Keep buying crypto from me. It's gonna hit. It's gonna hit.
Well, I mean, that's what he did when he said, we're still believing God is going to work a miracle in the financial sector. And it works because in the comments on his video, dozens of people continue to reassure him that God will turn the situation around.
There we
By the
go.
way, he was in prison for boosting cars when he was called upon to become a pastor. So he has that going for him.
I like that. You know, Jesus told me to steal the car. Jesus told me to, you know what I mean? I mean, Jesus wants this hot-wired Porsche. It's not for me, it's for the Lord. Ah.
Well, I think Satan wanted him to steal the car, but Jesus wanted him to become a pastor when he was in prison because what happens when you have good behavior? You stay in longer? Oh, wait, no, you get out sooner. So
There we go. There
interesting
we go.
how.
I hope he see. He's telling people that Jesus made him create a cryptocurrency where he was the one benefiting from the land. I hope that was his defense in court for stealing the car. It's like, listen, I had voices from God. You know what I mean? Like stealing a car is not that crazy to where compared to other stuff that God told people to do. You know, God told Abraham to kill his son. God told Moses to help. Or what's his name? Noah to help drown everybody or whatever, you know? And so it like God said that he needed an ark big enough to fit two animals. You know what I mean? Of every single species. He just told me he just wanted a Lexus is all. You know what I mean? So it's like I can do that for God. You know, what am I going to Noah built a whole ark. I can't even hotwire a Lexus for him. What am I, a fucking atheist heathen? Scum? No.
Solid goddamn argument it is. I don't know why people don't, take that path. I mean, we
Dude,
should
I
be
hope this
criminal
guy.
defense attorneys, or not. We wouldn't be attorney. We should be criminal defense advisors. At least you should.
That's right. God wanted me to. God wanted a bump done off of this stripper's navel. That wasn't for me. That was for him.
I would buy that.
That's right. God's voice
All right.
came into my head and told me to do that just now.
In closing, this is something we talk about occasionally. I mentioned it last podcast. I wasn't even alluding to this, but God damn it, Jake. Democrats are the fucking worst when it comes to messaging. They have this getting handed to them on a platter. It's embarrassing. Republicans worry they have, quote, zero accomplishments on to run in election, to run in on in elections. They have zero accomplishments. And this is them saying it. Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona said it in an interview with Newsmax. We have nothing. In my opinion, we have nothing to go out there and campaign on. It's embarrassing.
No,
because
you've been saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. And before him, who was it?
Chip Roy
of Texas said he did it on the floor. He said when Biden had and when the Democrats for 2 years, 2001 to 2003, they passed. I don't even remember. They should get out there and say, hey, guess what happened when we were control? We had lower prescription drugs, lower insulin. We passed the infrastructure bill, the CHIPS Act. We the global greenhouses, all this shit. Republicans come in as just no, no, no. And as we talked about last week, there is a bipartisan immigration deal that is so close to being ready. But Trump is saying, no, no, tank that deal so that they can say, oh, Democrats aren't doing anything. It's amazing that Democrats do not take these gifts from the Republicans who are saying we haven't passed shit. And they're running on is, well, who are you going to vote for, Trump? Yeah, people are going to vote for Trump. You're fucking bad at messaging. You're just the dumbest fucking cunts on the planet when it comes to messaging.
Yeah, I mean, I do think this will end up hurting them if they don't pass something on the border. I mean, because it like the diehard base is going to listen to their shit of like, oh, well, they just didn't give us every single wish list thing we wanted, so we're passing nothing. That's basically the messaging Trump's telling them to go with.
Right. Like, they're saying do not compromise at all.
Has half a brain can be like, yeah, but that you weren't going to get everything, dude. You only have the House by 2 seats. You don't have the Senate. You don't have the office. So like how are you going to get all this shit? You know, and it's going to look terrible in a general election. They're going to lose seats over this. Ultimately, Trump doesn't care if the Republicans lose seat because he just wants to get in office so he can pardon himself. If he was really concerned about passing all this stuff, A, he'd want to pass some of it now because he thinks it's important. B, this will lose seats in swing districts. So if he gets in, but he loses the House, he doesn't have the Senate either. He's not going to be able to do a whole hell of a lot in the executive branch alone if Democrats control everything else, except for pardon himself, which is what the fuck he wants. That's his only real goal here. He doesn't care about the border. He doesn't care about fentanyl. He doesn't care about any of this shit. He just wants to not go to jail.
I like how you said, by the way, that was a Charlie horse. I was just sitting here in my entire fucking quad locked up. That it was like this stabbing, shooting pain, and it's loosening up now. But it's funny you say that because what has he done in the past? He pardons his friends. Now, he made the statement finally like, oh, if I get in, I'm going to pardon everybody from January 6th.
Right.
But,
where was he for
the
first 2 years?
Right before he left office. When Republicans controlled everything, when Republicans for the first 2 years Trump was in office, they controlled everything. They couldn't shit can Obamacare like they promised. They didn't build the wall like they promised. So in the final 2 years, they took money, not Trump himself, but, you know, Bannon and others said, well, if the government's Democrats aren't going to do it, we're going to build the wall. Give us money. And then they stole the money and bought a yacht. And then Trump pardoned them like. All he cares about is pardons. He doesn't care about anything that he screams about when he gets out in front of a crowd like, oh, this and that and whatever he says. At the end of the day, it's him, his buddies, pardons. That's all he cares about. And it's funny. And it's amazing to me that his pure supporters just willfully deny that.
Right. I mean, now he's calling them January 6th hostages. It's funny. Yeah. We didn't hear that term for the first 2 years after it fucking happened. Where was that? You only, like you said, pardon the guy who ripped those people off, claiming he was going to build a wall and then bought himself a yacht. That's who he pardoned his last day in office. That's who he gives a fuck about. He gives a fuck about his buddies. Everybody else is just a rube to keep him in power. That's it.
That is it. All right. Find Jake on all these social media platforms at Jake Vevra. Watch Twisted Cupid live on YouTube every Thursday. I can be found at NathanTimmel.com. And again, if we missed World War III, we apologize, but next week we will be current again. I will be back from Costa Rica, unless I was taken hostage by Colombian drug lords, because I've heard they're prevalent in Costa Rica, because I'm an American. What do I know about Central America?
And forced to
I do know Colombia's in South America, though.
Sorry, I talked over
your stinger. Go.
Oh, all good. All good. I was going to say, and you'll be forced to smuggle fentanyl back across the border through your rectum.
Yes, up my butt in a condom. All right, Jake, good seeing your face.
Make my last meal a fentanyl and cheese sandwich.